Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
I want to talk to you tonight about something that I need to get more involvement in, which is basically the love of God. Walking in the love of God. Has anybody ever done you wrong? Raise your hand if anybody's ever done you wrong. Anybody ever done anybody wrong? So we got grace for a lot of people. And I've noticed lately, the Lord spoke to me today. He said, you should have as much grace for other people as you do for you. Wow. Woo! Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that. Have as much grace for other people as you do for me. Because I can mess up, and I forgive me. I jack up and I go, oh, you know what? That's just what people do, you know? But other people mess up. Come on, give me an amen right now. Other people mess up. You're like, what? I thought you were a Christian. You ought to get yourself together. And God said that we should love our neighbor as ourself. Now, I grew up in a preacher's home. Obviously, my dad was a pastor. And he's what they would, a word preacher. Preached a lot on faith and healing. Different kind of doctors, you know. If you need brain surgery, how many of y'all think you should not go to an orthodontist? So if you need knee surgery, how many of y'all don't think maybe you should not go to a proctologist? I don't think you should ever go to a proctologist. That's a pain in the... Well, anyway, at the end of the day, certain speakers, certain preachers, God calls them, gifts them in certain areas. And so my dad never talked about love your neighbor as yourself. And God's dealing with me about love, and I want to talk to you about it. I kind of feed you what God's dealing with me about. The Bible said that the love of God draws men to repentance. He said that love never fails. I've noticed in leading people or dealing with people with what we would call constructive criticism, when you walk in love, you tend to bring out the best in people. When you get mad and aggravated and you vent, do I have any people that ever vented on somebody? You were mad at somebody else, but you just went ahead and took it out upon the person that was right in front of you. That's not really maturity. God wants us to mature. I've also noticed God speaking to me that some of the problems that I have in my life stem from unforgiveness or not walking in love with somebody who did me wrong a long time ago. We need to know when we've been done wrong, we need to know that we do wrong. And then if we're quick to forgive, we'll be quick to be forgiven. But some of the bitterness that we have and the anxiety that we have and the turmoil that we have stems from us not walking in love. Love never fails. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 18, verse 21. It said, then came Peter unto them and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother offend or sin against me? How many times should I forgive him? Till seven times? He thought that was a big number. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Everybody shout, uh-oh. 70 times seven. 490 times a day? That's rough. I tend to, and maybe you tend to, when somebody does you wrong, you can remember when they did you wrong. You ever been in a fight with your spouse? And you actually kind of forgot about the fight that you had way back when, but it just came up out of your spirit, or really out of your flesh. The devil just brought it. Do you remember back in 1982 when you hosed me over? You remember in 1986 and you said this, that, or the other? The enemy has a way of pulling up those things which are anti-love, because he knows if we walk in love, we will not fail to receive our healing, fail to receive our joy, fail to receive whatever we're asking God for. So he tries to set up a root of unforgiveness to keep us back. How many times a day? 490 times a day? I've said this. You just sat on my last nerve. Anybody ever said that? My last. It's weird that you just got the last nerve. You sat on my last nerve. Paul said this. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We have to crucify our flesh. And God, I hate this, but he brings people in your life to do just that. Crucify your flesh. Don't point at anybody right now, but you might be married to somebody that God gave them to you to give you patience. You might have a kid in your life that you gave birth to, or that you're the father of, and that kid is there to test your patience. Actually, they're to reveal who you are because they're just like you. And that's part of the reason why you have a problem with them. Come on, everybody ought to say amen. You act, I can't stand it. God's testing us. He's working out his salvation in us so that we can walk in love, so we can let it drop, so we can forgive 490 times a day. His disciples said, how many times a day? How about this? They're trying to impress Jesus. Because if you were with Jesus and I was with Jesus, I would definitely try to impress Jesus. They're going to impress Jesus, and they're like, how many times, Lord? 7 times 70. That's a lot. No. God said, no, 490 times a day. He knew that was impossible. As many times as they wrong you and do you wrong, you have to, if you're a Christian, you have to, if you're a serious Christ follower, if you want joy in your life, you have to let it go, forgive them, let it drop. And the Bible said to count it not a wrong done. Forgive them. Now, I'm all for forgiving people. But sometimes my flesh is like, I don't think they need to be forgiven. Because I'm afraid if I forgive them, I will let them do that to me again. I'm not saying we need to go back and get hurt by the same people over and over who continue to harm us. Some of the best ways to walk in forgiveness and walk in love with people is to distance yourself with some people, because some people just always want to walk not in the love of God. They want to walk in strife. And so Proverbs said, if we cast out the strife bearer, strife will cease. I've often noticed in leadership, if there's ever a problem in an organization, in a particular department, they're not getting volunteers, or there's a lot of problem here, I'll always go to the leader, because the leader is the problem. You are the leader of your own life. People all the time want to lead a certain organization. They want to lead in this capacity, but you're really not a leader until you lead your own life. You want to be a leader, lead your own life. And the first thing that we need to deal with is this thing that you and I have. And all these fingers are pointing back at me. We got to learn to walk in love. You get aggravated, short-tempered, get mad, don't enjoy your life because we don't walk in love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, it says this. It says, love is kind. Love is tender-hearted. Love is not puffed up. You know what puffed up means? Prideful. Well, I don't do that. Just because we don't sin in the same area that they sin in doesn't mean that we are not sinners. In fact, we're even mega sinners when we're judging them for their sin, because now we're self-righteous. God hates self-righteousness, and you do too. Don't you? You just can't stand it when people are like, yeah, I'm great. I'm awesome. You ever met people like that? I'm good. Yeah. It's true. I'm awesome. Something doesn't set right. It's the opposite of love. Love is just humble. Not to say that we shouldn't be proud of, you know, God's done something good in our life, but we should actually look at it and say, man, if I really want people to forgive me, I don't want to draw unnecessary criticism. I need to actually just be humble. It's easy to forgive people that you love. You forgive your kids. Raise your hand if you forgive your kids. But if somebody else's kid did that, you'd be like, that dirty rascal, they ought to lock him up. He need to go to jail. But we forgive people we love. God loved us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. He forgave us, but he's telling us now, hey, I forgave you this big debt. How quick are you to get this sanctimonious thing? You don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve people to love us. You know who I am? You don't deserve that. People shy away from that. People like humility. And so if you want to be forgiven, and we're all going to make mistakes. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen today. Amen. We're all going to make mistakes, and we want to be forgiven, then we need to be quick to forgive. And we also just need to be quick to be humble. Love isn't puffed up. Love can say this. Let's try this again. You want people to forgive you. Raise your hand if you want people to forgive you. Because you know you're going to screw up again. Raise your hand if you're going to do something stupid again. The quickest way to do that is deal with your pride so that people aren't turned off by your pride. Saying stuff like, I was wrong. Nicole, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed a couple days ago. I just knew I was mad when I got up. Anybody ever just know I'm mad? I can't wait till people get up because I need somebody to be mad at. Come on, I don't want to be the only one in here. Come on, this is Tuesday night. This is the crowd. Participate, okay? Okay, so I woke up and I was mad. I had a few things to be mad about. I was aggravated. And then she got up and I could hear in here, see, the love of God is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit's in there. God is in you through the Holy Spirit. And God is love. So love is in me going, calm down. Don't ruin her day because she woke up in a bad mood. Why do you want to get her in a bad mood? Because, you know, the Holy Spirit's probably saying, haven't you ever heard the statement, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? So why are you so emphatic on trying to make mama happy, unhappy? I guess I'm preaching to me tonight. I don't know. But I heard that and I thought, I want you to write this down. In light of my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? That's a statement I learned a long time ago and I use it all the time. In light of my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Wow. It works with alcohol. I want to go out with those girls. Maybe not. It works with lust. It works with Girl Scout cookies. It works with morality. It works with finances. It works with everything. In light of my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Because your flesh will make deals. Oh, that feels so good. It doesn't feel good when your whole life's in shambles. Amen. Oh, God. Your life can go from, I've got it, I enjoy it, to, oh, my God, I want to throw up. So I could hear that. In light of my past experience, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Don't do that. So I thought, yeah, that's right. Then she got up. Then I made a cup of coffee. And then she said a couple things. I forget what it was, but she woke up and she wasn't in the most delightful mood either. So since she wasn't in the greatest mood and I wasn't in the greatest mood, it's just like these two temperature inversions, this hot and this cold, came together. And now it's starting to, and it's not bad. We're not like, there's just a tension there. It's not love. It's going to fail. She took me to the airport. She got out because I'm driving. Now she's going to drive. And she got out and gave me one of those hugs. You know. I didn't need a hug. But now I leave. She's leaving. You know, so we're you know, going separate ways for the day. But then in a few minutes later, I could hear the Holy Spirit say, not in a condemning voice, not like, look what you did. Because the Holy Spirit will never condemn you. He will convict you, but he won't condemn you. Your flesh will condemn you, and the devil will condemn you. You dirty rascal, look what you did. We're not going to, condemnation ain't going to help anybody. That's just going to make you meaner, just mean. And we're all mean a little bit. Oh my God, I'm going to have to come down after you today. I said we're all mean just a little bit. One of our pastor's kids this last week went out to eat with him, and he's just a little boy, and he just started pinching me real hard. And I was looking at him going, he's just aggravated. He was happy, but he was mad. And I thought, you know, he's mad. Something wrong. He's just pinching at me. So I just pinch him back. But I thought, what in the world? This kid ain't got no bills. I'm paying his health care. Come on, somebody. Little joker ain't got no health insurance without me. I took him to dinner and he pinched me. But we're all that way a little bit. Just a little aggravated. Just how do you say that word? Mischievous? Good job. A little aggravated. But I could hear inside here the Holy Spirit saying, now, if you'd have listened to me and you'd have done what I told you to do, you wouldn't have put that unnecessary pressure on her. She doesn't need that. You don't need that. You love her. She loves you. But it's just a little wedge. And see, unrenewed people that don't go to church on Tuesday night, these are the people who their marriages end up wrecking and they don't know what happened. All of a sudden now, because they're not walking in love, they didn't forgive. Remember how many times a day? 490? That's a lot. So now if they're not renewed and they're not walking in love, now all of a sudden it's like, she left. I had it happen this weekend after a Saturday night service. Guy came up, I need to talk to you right now. My wife left me. She left me. And he's just losing it. And I've been there. That hurts. I said, what'd you say? And usually guys say like, I just said, you know, just why don't you cook? But it wasn't that one thing. All I said was, why don't you? No, that's not all you said. For 36 months, you've been saying little stuff here and little stuff there. It never surprises me when a woman cheats a man. I'm never like, what happened? And by the way, a man has never been shot doing the dishes. Can I get an amen from a woman in here today? So it doesn't surprise me that she shot you. It doesn't surprise me. See, people that walk in unforgiveness, they get so aggravated, they get so mad. And then here's the problem. When they leave you, now all of a sudden you want to change. The key is, in light of my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? The key is to deal with your flesh before later it's like, I'll change. I'll go to counseling. The Holy Spirit is your counselor, and he's all the time saying, hey, shut up, Shaquita. Hey, Bob, go back and tell her you're sorry. Hey, he's always in there, not in a bad voice. If we listen to that voice, but sometimes you just get so mad. You ever been just mad and you're like, I know the right thing to do, but I'm in no mood to do the right thing right now. Come on, everybody, I won't even look. Come on. Raise your hand, let God see your honesty. Even at home and online. You've only got a couple more days in June to admit you got a problem. Come on, she's about to leave you, Bob. Raise your hand. So if we walk in love and we walk in forgiveness and we're humble, now here's what you do. I went back to Nicole and I said, hey, Nicole, I hate the way I left a while ago. It wasn't a big deal. I just didn't do that. I woke up mad, and I was just living up to my name, Cranky. I mean, my name is Crank. I'm sorry. I should have done that. Then she's like, oh, it's no big deal. I did. And then, do you notice when you walk in love, and people will forgive you, and they'll say, well, you know what? I was in a bad mood, too. But if you say, you know what? I'm not telling her I'm sorry. She should tell me she's sorry. You know, the first one to apologize is the one who's the perfect will of God. The first one to apologize is the one that's going to enjoy their life. The first one to apologize is the one that probably won't get shot. Forgive them. But I don't want to wait till it's like, I don't know why she left me. All I said was, no, you're just being mean. And you've been mean for a long time. Forgive. 490 times a day. Matthew 5, verse 38. You have heard it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now this is red. This is Jesus speaking. But I tell you to resist evil. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek to him. How many of y'all ain't really feeling this in the flesh? Come on, raise your hand. Be like, hey. So you telling me God, if they slap me on this side, and you turn to the say, oh yeah, once you slap me on this side? I don't think so, homie. This was Jesus. I do not agree with this. I'm just telling you this is the way we're supposed to do it. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your coat, let him also have your scarf. What? This sucker's suing me. Verse 42. Give to him who asks you. When they borrow and they don't pay it back, just give it to him. Verse 43 says, you have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Here's the kicker. Pray for those who spitefully persecute you. So I'm like, God, I don't get this. They're blogging about me. They try to split my church. I was paying them while they were hosing me. They're still doing this. Yeah, I want you to just forgive them. Let it go. And I want you to talk good about them. Oh, I'm going to need your help. Help me, Lord. I actually want you to pray for them. So then I like David's prayers, King David, when he's like, God, have mercy on me and those evildoers who have come against me. Open up hell and let them fall in. Thank you, God. Anybody like David's prayers? Oh, yes. Those are awesome prayers. God, with me, may your mercy and your loving kindness be new every morning. And with those foes that come against me, God, eat up their flesh with leprosy. That's what your flesh wants to do. But how many of y'all live long enough to know that your flesh doesn't know what it needs to do? This will fix your marriage. It'll bring your joy back. You won't have to stalk them on social media. You'll be happy. You'll enjoy your life. God will bless you. And with blessing, the Bible said, comes persecution. So blessing will start hitting your life. And then you're like, oh man, it's okay. I love them. I'm going to let it drop. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I don't care what they're saying about me. Because here's what I have lived. I've lived long enough to know this. Time always tells. You stay consistent, like with me at Faith Church. I've been here forever. I've only got a W-2 from one place in my whole life. Faith Christian Ministries is my daddy's church, and I worked there as soon as I was working there when it was child labor laws. I could have sued the man. But I stayed, and I'm going to stay. And I'm going to stay forever. Other people come and they go so they can say what they want to say about you. But the Bible said you will know them by their fruit. So if we walk in love and we just stay and God keeps blessing us and they keep going from church to church or from job to job or from place to place bad mouthing you, truth always tells. The Bible said by our well spent lives, we would know at the end of the trail that we are the obedient followers of God. With blessing comes persecution, but the Bible said the faithful person shall abound in blessing. So we say, God, truly forgive them. I drop it, I leave it, I let it go. God bless them. In time, eventually, you will forget about the thing that they've done wrong to you. And you'll actually get to a point, and you've already probably been there. Has anything ever been really big and you couldn't stand the person, but then years passed, and then you actually thought about them, and there was something good, and you kind of smiled? Anybody? Now, that's a stretch for some people, but you thought, I don't really want to kill them. Let's try that one more time. All campuses, come on, raise your hand and be like, I remember they made me laugh that day. See the good in people. See the thing that God turned around and reversed the situation and turned it around for your good. Instead of having all this animosity towards them, have joy towards the fact that, you know what? God's going to bless me when people persecute me. So persecute me all you want, because God's going to look at me and feel sorry for the situation. Come on right now. And he is going to bless me in spite of them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to count it not a wrong done. No big deal. It's another cool story in the Bible about a sycamine tree. Anybody ever heard of a sycamine tree? If you're sick of yours, I'm sick of mine. Jesus looked at the sycamine tree and he cursed it at its roots. The sycamine tree, the interesting thing about the sycamine tree is it's the preferred wood for caskets. The sycamine tree grows really fast. And the roots are really deep. It goes great in the desert. The places where Jesus was walking in the desert, the reason why there was a sycamine tree there is that was the tree that really grew and flourished there. And he ended up cursing that tree that wasn't bearing fruit. But it was the sycamine tree, and it grew really fast in dry places. Unforgiveness grows really good with really deep roots, really fast, and it is the preferred wood for caskets. You could be growing your own casket right now. If you study about the sycamine tree, it's actually pollinated by the stinger of a wasp. Have you ever been stung? Got me. I didn't even see it. Anybody ever been stung by a bee or a wasp or a hornet? It ain't no fun, is it? You're like, oh, man, oh! You didn't, whoa! Stinger's in there. Swells up. The sycamine tree, Jesus cursed the sycamine tree at its roots. What I'm doing here on this Tuesday night is dealing with the roots of this sycamine tree that is growing in the dead, dry places of your life where you and I have forgotten about the fact that God has forgiven us. We've forgotten about all the places that God forgave us here and brought us, you know, I love it, from a mighty long way. And we're allowing this stinger that they stung us with to grow deep roots really quick, and we're actually growing our own casket. Wow. You got to forgive them. God, the reason why God wants us to forgive them is not because he like, I really want you to like really obey me. God knows I made you. So when I check out the manufacturer's handbook for you, you don't do well hating people. The love of God causes you not to fail. Love never fails. Love is kind. Love is tenderhearted. Love is not puffed up. So God goes, hey, I need you to walk in love and I need you to forgive everybody because life is too short for you to go around mad all the time and aggravated all the time and cynical all the time. Just people just, like, what is up? Do you remember back when you were a kid and you were relatively happy? You talk to your girlfriend on the phone. You memorized all the songs to all the songs on the radio. You just didn't have much on your mind. You were just pretty much happy, and you lived to buy some bubble gum and have a comb coming out the back of your pocket. Come on right now. If you could afford your beeper right now, you know what I mean? If you ever broke into a bag phone, you were straight up dope, right? And so we go back to there, and we're like, oh, but then life happened. In fact, you were having a good time, and your mom and dad might be mad and saying something. You're like, what is up with them? I never want to be like them. That's just crazy. How to just be happy. What are they upset about? They got you. They got bills. They got hosed. They got stung. They got divorced. They lost the job. They got lied upon. And now they got 40 years of growth. And the thing you hated about them, now you're in your 40s. And your kids are.
Oh, yeah, I need my Kylie lip kettle. I need some Yeezys right now.
You're like, you know what? We didn't have, I didn't have a cell phone when I was a kid. Well, it's because they didn't have one when you were a kid. You're making up stuff about it. We had a paper route. I mowed grass. I walked to school uphill with no shoes at all. Done lying to these kids. Come on right now. You never did that stuff. But now we're aggravated. We're mad. Listen, let's stop that. God's your father. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to take care of us. Here on this Tuesday night, we can go to church. We had fabulous worship. The word, I mean, this is straight up. I'm going to get the CD myself. This is awesome. The Holy Spirit is speaking through me. Stuff I didn't even think of. He is speaking to you right now so you can let them go. They've wronged you 490 times. That means don't count. Because you're like, I don't know. You know what? There's some rascals right now. I'm going to start counting because we're getting close. We're at 332. It's 9 p.m. That means don't count. 490 times means don't count. Everybody shout, stop counting.
Stop counting.
Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek.
Forgive them.
Forgive.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Because I don't want to grow my own casket. So Jesus cursed the sycamore tree. He spoke to it. So here as we're closing in the next couple minutes. I think it's important to verbalize forgiving people. I think some of you need to write a letter to somebody and never send it. Just go ahead and write the letter. I remember when I was in Dallas, Texas, in a meeting preaching for Keith Kraft at Elevation Church, and I was in the height of being betrayed by my family member. And it was horrible. Trying to grow a church, trying to do what it is in my own flesh and blood, trying to destroy me. I was hurt. I was mad, aggravated. My dad, he died. He had no choice. But sometimes when people leave you and they're alive, it just hurts more. Your wife dies, that's horrible. She left you, there's hurt there. So I'm hurting. And I was just praying. I said, God, I need you to help me. It's important to pray. The Bible said pray without ceasing. Yeah. So just pray and ask God, God, I need you to help me. And here's what I heard in here. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in here. You don't hear from God from the outside in. You hear God from the inside out. Okay, so he's in here and he said to me, I want you to write her a letter. I thought, my God, I can't write her a letter. She'd kill me. She said, no, write her a letter. I started writing the letter. He said, you don't have to mail it, just write it. I started writing it, and the more I wrote, the better I felt. The more I started crying, I could feel the stinger of the wasp coming out. I could feel that the roots of the sycamore tree just begin to die. And I was just, oh, And then after I was done with the letter, I thought, God, this was such a great idea, dude. You're so smart. You could like be God. I forgave him. Took the letter, put it in my briefcase, left it for a few days, and then tore it up, threw it away. Because some people won't allow you the opportunity to forgive them and get back in relationship. It's never going to happen. You just got to get over it. Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my father but he that does the will of the Father? Jesus said, no man has left houses, lands, brothers, sisters, mother or father for my sake or the gospel's sake that I will not give it back to you. So right after that, I got a call from Joyce Meyer saying, hey, heard about a lot of stuff you've been through, and I want to let you know that I'm your mom. Meet me up at Starbucks. Met her at Starbucks. She gave me a check for $10,000, and I said, I love you, Mom. Come on. Bought a TV camera, went on television, been on television ever since. God will give it back to you. It might not be the person you want to give you love and affirmation, but God has your family of choice and family of origin. So sometimes your family of origin might be straight up cray-cray, never help you, bust a cap in you. You can't bring them to the picnic. They might stab somebody. Anybody got family like that? You know, you've watched Springer or something, okay? Then you have your family of choice. That's Faith Church. That's why you got to get involved in an iConnect group. That's why you got to serve at church, because you got your family of origin, but you got your family of choice. Jesus took these choice brothers, and he made a life with Peter, James, John. Sometimes you just got to say, I forgive them. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to pray for them. And then sometimes you just have to distance yourself from them. You feel hurt. You feel betrayed. But you got to turn that other cheek. Forgive how many times a day? And the love of God never fails. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. You all online as well watching. You're part of our Faith Church family. How many would raise your hand and say, man, this is, I needed to hear that. This has helped me a lot. Let God see that hand. Pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me forgive them. I want to forgive them. I need to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them. And God, help me to realize that I've been forgiven. And when you've been forgiven a lot, you have a lot of forgiveness to give. So I let them go as an act of my own will. I forgive everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.